I'm Tommy Gimler. The Packers' 28-22 overtime loss was the biggest collapse we've seen since our Ethiopian pen pal Baruch walked into a Golden Corral for the first time in 1994. Yeast rolls, man.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and Russell Wilson blamed his four interceptions in the NFC Championship game on God, not Baruch. But we'll break down whether or not he's right and who's to blame.
I'm Barry Murphy. CBS Sports college basketball analyst Greg Anthony was arrested for soliciting a hooker, and that begs the question, how much was she?
And I'm T'Shawn Phillips, and with the Super Bowl matchup set, I'm looking forward to the Australian Open and the exciting return of Rafa Nadal on the Grand Slam scene.
It's all about Serena, baby.
Anyone for tennis?
The Daily Upper-Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
So, guys, without any further ado, let's get started. Let's jump right into the hot mess.
The hot mess.
All right, guys, NFC Championship reactions. Goddamn. For Packers fans, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Some are calling it one of the greatest games ever played. Do you agree, Andy Ostrom?
Absolutely not. The game was miserably boring until the last, 5 minutes.
Exactly. For 55 minutes, I thought that it was one of the worst games I'd ever seen.
I thought Russell Wilson was going to have eight interceptions by the end. Some of those passes were just shit.
Right, but if you're not a fan of either team, that was some of the worst football I've ever seen.
Oh, it was boring.
Especially on an NFC Championship caliber, onside kick. Yeah.
Right. Where you were like, holy shit, this is going to happen. Then you just knew they were going to win. There was no way they were going to lose after that.
Murph, what do you think?
I disagree with your dad. This was not one of the greatest games ever. What I do love about games like this, and there usually seems to be one every playoff season, is that it brings out the idiots in full force, like on comments on ESPN
pages.
I think
that's every football game ever.
It is, but this one's like extra, you know, especially guys like you and Kelly who somehow don't like Mike McCarthy, mm-hmm. You'll start blaming like the early 4th-and-1 where they kicked a field goal on them losing the game. When all this goofball and the onside kick guy, there's a million other things that happen.
Right. I don't blame McCarthy's field goals or anything. You take the points in that case.
Absolutely.
I mean,
against the Seahawks.
Especially if your defense was shutting them down, get as many points as you possibly can.
Yeah, the Packers defense looked fantastic.
I'm not arguing with. I'm arguing with something like Morgan Burnett intercepting the football, and he's got – did you see the picture? Like Alt 22, whoever they are, released a picture at the point where Morgan Burnett intercepted the pass. He's got 40 yards of real estate.
Nothing but clear skies ahead.
It's unbelievable. By the time the first Seahawks guy would have come close to touching him, he would have been at Seattle's 40-yard line.
Yeah,
even 30-yard line. It
was also interesting because that was 5 minutes left, and the commentators didn't even say anything about it. It was almost like there was a minute left.
Oh, the commentators missed something important?
I was so hammered at that point. Like, it took me two minutes, and I came out. I'm like, why did he slide? I couldn't believe it.
That motherfucker would have been at, at the Pike's Market, just throwing fish. He would have been so free and clear as far as scoring a goddamn touchdown.
He was at the original Starbucks getting a latte.
Yeah, the original. Exactly. Not even with a lineup anymore. But
yeah.
No. Is that racist? Is he trying to be racist that Morgan Burnett was throwing fish? It's MLK Day,
That's
man.
That's about as racist as Sean Getz, actually. He's not a racist sort of guy.
Oh, those fish throwers.
Yeah.
I am culturally sensitive.
Yeah. All right, Chepetta, I just want to, before we move on to the next topic here in the hot mess, I want to kind of break down what this felt like as a Packers fan, right? This is what the 2014-2015 NFC Championship game felt like.
Is this like the song that is played as all the fans are leaving the field? Is it as people are leaving their party?
This is just the song that I hear in my head when I tell this story. When I think about what this game was.
Are you going to talk about it as he plays?
Yes, he's going to play. This is going to be nice little background music. Go ahead, David. The NFC Championship game was like, it's almost a little too happy. Almost a little too happy.
You were happy at first, weren't you? When it was 16-0 at halftime, were you not
it's
happy?
You're walking around the streets of Green Bay lost.
That's almost like a Christian Mingle type first date right there. That's a Christian Mingle, like so happy, like, hey, God is good.
Right.
Give me a little more romantic. Yes. So the NFC Championship game, guys, for a Packers fan was like this. It's like when it's been a while since you've had a quality fuck. I mean, you're out there, you're fucking, but the real quality lay isn't there. When you finally meet this girl at Tully's, and you have a couple of drinks, and you're like, this could be the one. She likes you, you like her, and you bring her back to your place. And she's like, yeah, you know, let's do this. It feels right for her, too. Bring her back to your place. You put the orange ball in her mouth so your mom won't hear. And just as you're about to go, she's buck naked, you're buck naked. And just as you're about to throw it in her, you realize that she's married and her husband followed you guys all the way back to your place and he busts in your door and blows your fucking head off. Huh. That is what the NFC Championship game feels like for a Packers fan.
I was thinking you were going to say she had a dick and it was going to be worse. Yeah.
I thought his story was very similar to the game. The first 55 minutes of it was bad and the ending was phenomenal. Great ending. I was like, where is he going?
What kind of gun did he use?
Yeah. They said the peak rating for that game was the greatest for any NFC Championship game ever. So the peak rating was like 60.5 million viewers, and that was overtime. So I think once everyone realized, oh, it's overtime, we better turn it back on. But anyway, moving on. Next topic here in the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Russell Wilson. Terrible game. Probably one of the worst first halves in the history of professional football. 4 interceptions in total.
Poor.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, asked him shortly after the game, hey, what about those 4 interceptions? This is what Russell Wilson told Peter King. And I quote, that's God setting it up to make it so dramatic, so rewarding, so special. I've been through a lot in life and had some ups and downs. It's what led me to this day. Murph, was God responsible for Russell Wilson's terrible day?
I really would rather hear your take on this.
Do we really need to spend 2 minutes on this bullshit? If he wants to think that way, fine. He has the freedom to do that, but no.
I vote yes.
You think God was behind those 4 interceptions? I think as a non-believer in God, I think that Russell Wilson just signifies how batshit crazy Christian people are, is that they will take the shittiest moment in their life. What I'm real happy about is that if someone finally, like, you know, blamed shit on God. It wasn't like, oh, the glory, right.
Yeah, he wasn't like, oh, thank God.
He didn't give God the credit for winning the game. He said it was God's fault that he was that shitty. So maybe he's the Antichrist. Did we unlock something here?
I don't think we did.
I think he said it's God saying he was shitty. I don't see that in there anyway.
Peter King asked him about 4 interceptions, throwing 4 interceptions. He said that's God setting it up.
It is a read between the lines kind of thing.
I think he blamed God.
I think you should.
He also credited God for making the game so exciting.
Mm. Mm. I think you should reenact Adam Pac-Man Jones blaming the Bengals' loss on God.
Did he do it?
No, but you should. What would he say?
I don't even know.
Would he be this nice and polite here?
There's the timer. Let's go on to the next one.
I don't think God's visited Cincinnati since the 50s. He's been out of Cincinnati for quite a while.
It's hard to find.
What do you think Andrew Luck did? Like, hey, God, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a doozy of a
ball
game.
He's effusive. You know, he's just
I know you just set me up for a win eventually.
Andrew Luck's always going to lay it on, and then suddenly it didn't work out.
You know, there's some like miserable, depressed like guy who works at a gas station by his house. It's like, this fucking guy says hi to me again today. Why is he so fucking happy, man? He's got to run into 10 to 15 people. I'd probably hate it a couple days a week. Somebody that happy.
Andrew Luck?
To anybody.
Andrew Luck is so happy that he gets killed in the pocket, right? Someone just drills him, takes him to the ground, and he compliments him.
Yeah.
No, the pat on the butt is never more frequent than with the old, oh, thanks for crushing me. Oh, we're losing by a lot. Boom, double pat.
Well, guys, moving on here in the hot mess, if God was all about the Seahawks and Packers game, then he obviously didn't give a shit about the AFC championship because the Colts were curb stomped to the tune of 45-7 by the AFC champion, New England Patriots. Of course, no one cares about the final score, what happened during that game, other than the fact that the Patriots were allegedly playing with deflated footballs. Andy Ostroff, your thoughts?
The Patriots could have played with a fucking beach ball and still would have won by 30.
Talking to the microphone.
The Patriots could have played with a fucking beach ball and still would have won by 30.
Ah, stop yelling.
They could have played with ping pong balls. They could have played with cue balls. They could have played with a shot put. Tom Brady could have thrown a shot put to Gronkowski and they still would have won.
At some point, you got to wonder if Belichick just is creating new shit.
I think this is a smokescreen. Like, yeah. The Patriots like just, set up, the NFL has not even commented on this. And here's the thing also, like, if this is a problem, it is like the easiest fucking problem in the world to fix. Just have the NFL give out the ball. Just have somebody out there who's getting paid, you know, $10 an hour. Like, hey, you're in charge with the ball. Like, here, you give it to the teams.
I hope during the Super Bowl, you know, the cameras focus on the first ball that's put down under center.
Also, there's so many cameras there. There's so many. How many cameras? NFL Films was like, we have 200 fucking cameras here. There's so many cameras there. Like, couldn't they have been like, oh, yeah, here's footage of the dude fucking deflating the balls.
And also, how did they prove it 2 days later?
They didn't
One of the Colts intercepted.
11 of 12 Pats footballs, 2 pounds under for headlining ESPN.
Yeah, well yeah.
Who cares? Both
and it all happened after one. Right.
Ball,
well,
right?
No. So as a quarterback, you can
get your own balls.
Yeah, you can choose. So like Aaron Rodgers says that he likes his footballs.
Every
you know,
team
inflated
fucks with the
to
balls,
the max
though.
Because he's got
big
such
balls.
Big
so
hands.
Why is,
balls.
Why is it illegal they deflated them then? If
I
you can have
the
it, how
well, there
must
be.
The Colts linebacker who got that interception says that they said that he was the one who said something to the equipment manager, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't feel anything different with the ball."
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't even know if it benefited him that much. Like, did you see that duck he threw to Julian Edelman?
He had one of the worst passing performances of his life.
Yeah, so it wasn't like it.
Where
it
was
really
like his fifth worst of the season. Something he threw for like 200 something yards. His longest plays were mostly they were runs after the catches, and it's like they were nothing looked good.
All I'm saying is the last time the Patriots were accused of cheating, they came out and smoked the fucking team 56 to nothing and went on like a 17 game winning streak before.
Always be accused of cheating.
So,
does that come out to something? ABAC? ABAC.
There's got to be a good acronym for that for sure.
ABAC, yeah.
ABAC.
Your shithouse, T-Shawn. I like this shithouse, T-Shawn. Drinking some scotch out of a nice Big Tom's glass and then drinking a glass of water out of a mimosa. Yeah, it's like a mimosa.
I love
beverages. The drunk T-Shawn is very confusing. Set it out. Big signals.
T-Shawn's on the cleanse still.
Ugh.
It's actually true.
Moving on here, guys, in the hot mess.
Fucking lemonade and whiskey.
We might need to test T-Shawn for some hardcore drug use right here. He's all over the place right now. And speaking of testing guys for hardcore drug use, how about this guy right here? Doug Marrone gives up the Buffalo Bills head coaching position to go coach, wait for it, as the offensive line coach and assistant head coach for the offense, right? In Jacksonville.
I don't even.
The
did he really accept?
Jaguars.
He accepted
Buffalo
that?
Had three
accept
times. The
nobody,
that happened? That
nobody
happened.
Nobody else gave him anything, man.
That's fucked up. He interviewed for the Broncos job. You know,
I think you should be happy that a guy that fucked up didn't take that job.
He's got problems.
He
gave it to the Cougs, man.
The Cougs.
Cougs coming home.
You know.
You know, and if he's this crazy without the altitude, once he would have gotten to Denver with that altitude, he would have been
good.
Yeah, you don't want that guy.
You drink enough up there, you end up really well practiced. But
so why? Like, what's the point there? Is it all over the $4.5 million or the $4 million that he got in his part of the in his contract? There was a clause that if ownership changes up in Buffalo, he can leave and he gets his 2015 guaranteed salary.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, I'm leaving on my own terms. I'm just taking his 4.5.
No,
why would
just
you go
overplayed his hand, man. He was like, oh, well, I'll leave, go to get a better job. Everyone's going to want me because I turned around the Bills. He did the same shit at Syracuse, too, man. Like, he leaves all these places where he's like just getting them a little bit better. Not he's like they're about to turn the corner, but they don't fully. Like, the Bills didn't make the playoffs. He left Syracuse, right? I looked this up.
So it's legit.
Well, no, he left Syracuse after.
I found this on Wikipedia.
In 2012, they were 8-5, okay? They had a share of the Big East, which they split with four teams, a depleted year for them in 2012, and then they beat West Virginia in the Pinstripe Bowl. So then he goes to the pro.
A great bowl game, by the way.
Oh, yeah, great bowl game. Pinstripe Bowl. I like the Vulcan Bowl, to be honest with you. Yeah, but it's like, and then the year before that at Syracuse, he went 5-2 and then lost the rest of the games. 5-2 to start, and then lost the rest of the season. So it's like he gets to like just about to turn that corner and then leaves the team. It's kind of like, so it seems like something he does.
Is he married?
I don't think he is. I heard he loves Panama City Beach, and he just wants to be close to
Panama City Beach.
He loves it down there.
So if he's married and like you're his wife, are you nervous?
I think every day you're nervous you're married to a guy like Doug Marone.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. This guy's he really is all
and
over
Gus
the
Bradley
place.
Gus Bradley can't love this guy over his shoulder either.
Yeah, I mean, what does that say about him?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what is that? I mean, if he doesn't win two of the first four games next year, he's gone, and Doug Marone's going to be the head coach there.
Probably.
Now, wait a minute. Did he really accept this position?
He did. Offensive line coach.
This is not – we are not working for the Onion. This is the Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap, dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. We also have a Vine now.
We do?
Vine. Oh, nice. Check it out. Nothing but good stuff. The latest one is that Florida player – did you see this in the – Florida basketball is terrible this year. But this Florida player went up and tried dunking. And like fell about like 2 feet short. It's like in the game Double Dribble where you went to go dunk.
Double
but
Dribble.
You held on to
double
the
dribble. Did you see the CBA dunk contest, Tyler?
Double
the dude
Dribble.
The other day tried to jump over five people at once to dunk.
Oh, the Chinese guy? Yeah. hit some of the people and just fell on his face.
Chinese, but it's CBA.
Well, if we're talking about Chinese basketball, we're digressing. Let's move on here
dude,
in the hot mess.
Still has the Allen
Double Dribble.
The hot mess.
Tiger Woods is missing his tooth. That is a story, believe it or not. The richest golfer in the world supposedly lost a tooth when a cameraman ran into him when he went to go see his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, do some extreme sport shit.
Did he take a ski to the mouth?
Olympic gold medals.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, yeah. Olympic gold medals? Yeah. All right, thanks for clearing that up.
She's not some sort of sport shit girl.
Yeah. Did he take a ski to the mouth?
No, so here's the story. So the story is that his girlfriend, Lindsay, won these, you know, awards. Who cares, right? It's female skiing.
Right, Olympics.
So, yeah, whatever. It's not the Olympics. So she won some award. So
some gold
shit. He said, the story is that he was trying to make his way up toward, like, the front of the award ceremony, and there was a cameraman there with a big shoulder camera who didn't see him, and he just lunged, kind of like, not lunge, but move forward, and that camera hit him in the mouth, and it broke his tooth off.
That's awesome.
Does that make him more of a pirate?
That'd be his eye.
Well, the funny thing was
that
people said,
knocked one eye out.
Arr, I'm Tiger Woods.
I don't think he would talk like
that. Oh, all right.
Arr, I'm Tiger Woods. I missed a couple of putts. You know, it's
I don't
your,
know. It sounds
kind
of fishy. I didn't see any blood or anything.
I bet you he was thrilled when it happened too.
Tiger,
such a nice guy. He was probably like, "Don't worry about it."
So this is the thing.
I just get another one.
But there's no news. Also, like the fucking ski race. Like, oh, we didn't.
Yeah, the race official said no. That did not happen.
What?
That is not the story. So supposedly he was in a hospitality tent for like 10 to 15 minutes, and supposedly he had this this scarf around his face, and it was
well, he was hiding in the crowd. You know that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he had a scarf around his face, and it had like almost like a skeleton.
Fake
grill
skeleton
on his face.
Grill.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then it for whatever reason like it fell down, and that's when people all snapped the photos of the two. So do you buy it? Murph, do you buy it? Did
yeah,
a camera?
Why not? I think that could easily happen.
Unbelievable.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I don't know.
You're disbelieving the truth of this?
But
he's
guys,
a conspiracy.
Race officials say it didn't happen. They have no idea how he lost his tooth, but it wasn't
night,
a camera.
Though, I was watching the CBS Nightly News with Scott Pelley.
No, you weren't.
And he failed to make a proper transition in his Tiger Woods story. And I paused it afterwards and was like, what the fuck was that? Rewound it, played it again. Rewound it and then videotaped it because it was amazing.
Right, but because so you have to set this up in the, without the proper transition. The CBS news guy makes it sound like Tiger Woods lost a tooth, and that's how he died.
And that's how he died.
So listen to this as it goes.
Hopefully you can hear this, but listen.
Hold it right up to the microphone. Here we go.
Photographer accidentally hit Woods and knocked out a tooth just before he died.
Right. So if you're over here doing the dishes, you're like, kind of what? Yeah, play it again.
Photographer accidentally hit Woods and knocked out a tooth just before he died.
Damn it. Who forgot to type a comma into the teleprompter?
Well, he goes into a story about Martin Luther King Jr., but still, he's like, it knocked out his tooth just before he died. Martin Luther King Jr.
What's his name? Who is that?
Scott Pelley.
Everybody knows that Scott Pelley will read whatever is typed up, whatever is entered into that teleprompter.
He's the true anchor man.
All right, guys, moving on here in the hot mess. Speaking of golf conspiracies, Robert Allenby.
Yes.
You guys know who this guy is?
I do now.
I think this is just a ploy for people to finally find out who Robert Allenby is, because I have no idea who this guy is. But he's an Australian golfer.
Who doesn't make the cut, apparently.
Who was in Waikiki this weekend. He's at a wine bar. He says he was beaten, kidnapped, and robbed. Do you believe it?
Why'd they need to fucking kidnap him? That's my thing.
I don't know. Well, he said
beaten and robbed, I can understand.
He said that it was he was kidnapped and beaten by people who were jealous of his fame. But then again, like
jealous of his fame.
I know some golfers, not all of them, but I have no idea who this guy is.
Yeah, but if you were there at the bar, you probably were at the golf event. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you probably followed him there. Like.
I think he just owes some people some money. I bet he was betting on it, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make this cut. And, like, they bet some money on him. He just didn't fucking do it. I bet he's betting on himself.
So, Tishon, did you see a picture of this guy? Well, first off, Tishon, you know a lot about golf. So do you know who Robert Allenby is?
Of course, yeah.
All right. So did you see the picture?
Of course.
Did you see the picture?
Uncivilized.
I don't look at pictures.
So he's got like a huge gash on his forehead here, and then he's got another one on the bridge of his nose. And he said his reasoning was, "Look at me. This is why you should believe I was kidnapped."
He's like, "Whereas, look at me. Of course, I was kidnapped."
And there's like other stories now to where like there were two homeless guys beating the piss out of him and taking his wallet and taking his phone.
Like in Hawaii?
In Hawaii.
It all seems like.
Well, then he also gave the woman. Wild. Apparently, the woman who like helped him get into the car, like some homeless lady helped him get a cab because he was 6 miles away. It was his story. She's saying that he was only a block away from the wine bar when she helped him. Also, he gave her $1,000 American Express gift card.
Oh, that's
good.
That's
that was nice of him. Yeah, no, you can pretty much convert that anywhere.
Yeah,
which is probably in like the gift bag for entering the tournament.
To
like,
me,
hey,
the biggest
coming out
the
here.
Biggest irony of this is that like usually Aussies are pretty proud of shit like this.
Yeah, right. You know, you're like, right, man. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They're like the drunker and more wild they can get, and right, the more beat up they can be. That's gold medal shit, right?
I
there.
Can't believe Steve Elkington has not tweeted about it yet. Hilarious.
Well, Allenby says the details aren't important. He says it's such a shame that people are focusing on whether the story is true. I say you only have to look at me to see the truth.
Is that real blood? I mean, is that what we're asking?
Where's his tooth? Is it with Tiger?
Right. Yeah, so all of his teeth are supposedly there, right? So he's been kidnapped, beaten, and robbed, but he still has every single one of his teeth. Tiger Woods, a camera
maybe
bumps into
Tiger
him.
Maybe Tiger kidnapped him. Maybe it was Tiger that kidnapped him, and he knocked out Tiger's tooth.
Tiger needs some Robert Allenby's fucking teeth right there.
We need to stop talking about it before we get into trouble there. We might be on to something. All right, last topic here in the hot mess.
He's a trained assassin.
I basically just added it so Murph could be brought back down to the level where I'm at after the Green Bay Packers loss. We're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs and their stadium woes.
The hot mess.
This is nowhere near as bad as the Packers collapse.
Correct, I know, but I just want to at least take one shot at you here. All right, a couple of shots. First.
Great effort.
Tishon, if you didn't know.
Trestman got hired.
The new Chicago Cubs spring training complex is being named after a shitter company.
What company is that?
The Sloan Valve Company.
No, but it's called that Sloan Park. It could be a
it's
bank.
Called Sloan
Nobody
Park.
Knows
no,
it's a shitter.
No,
bank.
No, no, no.
We're
telling
all
you.
It's a shitter factory park now.
But Tommy makes it sound like there's a fucking Daily Upper
the
Decker
Sloan
logo.
It's called
on the side
Sloan
of the building.
Doo-Doo Stadium.
No, it's oh yeah, Cubs sell spring training name rights to Sloan Valve.
Yeah,
it's called Sloan Park. It's very civilized,
sir. Sure, Sloan Valve.
It's called
they
Poop
make
Park.
It could be because they make the Toilet Tank 9000 Gravity Series.
It's called Shit
Ooh, that is a good one.
It is. Oh, it's not in my butt.
It's called Feces Field. That's the one. That's the one. Nailed it on
the bad
try.
News for people who are looking for the single flush Toilet Tank 9000 Gravity Series from Sloan Valve, sponsor of the Chicago Cubs. Nope. The single flush series has been discontinued.
Boom.
Boom. Do it twice.
They haven't had a good shitter in, what, 91 God. Years? Nah, is that it?
And then more news on the big boys, Boston the big boys stadium, fans. Wrigley Field. The bleachers won't be ready in time for the start of the season. What gives?
Who cares? Stop taking shots.
Well, I'll tell you exactly who cares. If I have a Bleachers ticket to opening day, I care a lot about
it. Yeah, I don't want to fall through into the fucking shitter factory.
I want to see Javi Baez. I want to see Chris Bryant at third. I got a Bleachers ticket.
Hey, man, the Cubs are actually looking better with some of their pickups. So, but here's the thing, man. I went to Wrigley Field once, and I liked it. I liked how it was like within the neighborhood and all that cool stuff. But I grew up going to Fenway, and I still go to Fenway when I can. And it's a little bit older, but it's just inside. It's just a nicer ballpark. And then I told some friends of mine from Chicago, and they were like, "That's because Wrigley Field's a dump. Like they don't clean it up every. They just sort of. It just kind of like continues to the next season. They never really make it better. And they're finally starting.
That's what
it
they
better.
Do in the roster too.
You think the interior of Fenway's nicer than Wrigley, like by that much?
Yeah, 100%.
That's right now. I think after the renovations, though, then Wrigley will.
Yeah, I mean, right. And Fenway, they try to make Fenway better every single year for the fan experience. And, I mean, it's not like it can't compete with a modern ballpark. It can't,
well, I mean,
like,
but at
like
Fenway,
Nationals
at Fenway,
like,
I can at least take a piss with a divider between me. I don't have to like fucking get splashed on by the dude.
Well, now that they're sponsored by a toilet company, they'll have the nicest.
Oh
toilets
yeah, it should
in
be
baseball.
The nicest ones in the world.
But,
yeah, you're right.
The thing is, someone told me this, which brings up a good point, is that the Ricketts family that owns
the Cubs. Yeah,
yeah, they own the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a great story and it makes tons of sense. And they're just like, yeah, they're billionaire white trash. And it's like you go by their house and it's just like it, like the grounds aren't taken care of and anything. They're billionaires. They live in this huge fucking mansion with like overrun
grass. With the nicest
grass
shitters in the world, though. The nicest poopers
like,
in the world.
It's like if you don't care about your house, like why are you going to care about your ball?
I bet you they have a single flush. I bet you they've got a single flush toilet over
there. No, man. They got Japanese toilets that open up when you walk towards it and then they wash your ass. Those things are the best.
All right. Boom. Speaking of city
music. They play music so you don't have to hear yourself shitting.
Speaking of shitty situations, it's time to move on to the pile.
The pile. Write another segue because you're never going to use any of that.
What are you talking about?
Terrible.
No, it's in there. That was some of the best stuff we've had tonight. It's a daily upper decker. Another bit sports and crap that was literally crap.
Cubs.
All right, here we go.
Spring trading facility.
Gentlemen,
made after shitters.
We're running short on time, so let's keep your arguments. Let's keep your arguments here to a to a minimum.
Judge
Tishon Prince presiding. Here we go in the pile. First up. Greg Anthony, the former UNLV stud guard, below average NBA player, and current college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, Greg Anthony was arrested for soliciting a hooker. Who wants to defend this guy?
I will defend Greg Anthony.
All right. All Andy right. Ostroff, go
this
ahead.
This is what's going on with Greg Anthony. Okay? All right. He's on a business trip to Washington, D.C. He's going to report on the Maryland Michigan State game. That's where he's going to broadcast.
Two good
from,
teams, right? Maryland.
Two
very
good
teams, Big Ten
both
team.
Both in the Big Ten now, yeah.
Which is weird.
So he's on a business trip. He wants to get a little strange on the D, right? This is what he could do. He could go out that night, meet a woman at happy hour, depending on how it's going. You know, he could buy drinks, drink himself, presumably stay up late and not even have guaranteed sex that night. Now, he's got a family and he's got a job, okay? One. If he stays out late carousing, that could affect his late night, his work performance, right? So he's being responsible. He owes that responsibility to CBS and its viewers, so he's being very responsible right now. Also, too, he doesn't want to have some strange floozy put up on her blog that she had a fling with Greg Anthony, so he hires a pro so she can shut up about it. And also, this professional is a professional in the oldest and most noble profession there is, I might add. Plus, Greg Anthony will be on TNT in a year.
All right. Very good. If Chuck Barkley could do it, so
fucking
can he.
Marv Albert.
I will say brevity of argument wins points in this case because I lost you, sir.
Shit, the judge is drunk.
Well, my
just know it was good, Tishon.
Brevity, good.
My lead witness in this case, Jim Nance, you guys have heard of him. pretty much came out, called this a Bush League move. He had told him all the proper places to go to get late night entertainment. Greg, right in his face, blew it off. This man couldn't be more guilty.
By the way, it wasn't late night. It was 6 p.m. 6 p.m.
Pretty late.
So here's an interesting fact about where he was getting this hooker. So he was in a part of town where it's like notorious for prostitution.
He's three blocks from the fucking White House.
Right. Incidentally, so this is weird for the courtroom to have like a third voice.
Now, yes.
Very
but this,
good point.
But what's crazy about this.
I object.
Is this is the same area where the D.C. madam used to run her whole prostitution ring. And one of her clients was allegedly Dick Cheney.
Probably.
Dick Cheney.
So you should be outside the courtroom, drop that story, and then say, let's go into the courtroom.
Just hold, I should like be the, I should be the
Doug Llewellyn. Yeah, you're outside divorce court.
All right. All
well,
right,
Dick well. Cheney. Hey, Dick Cheney got away with it, and then she
get control
she
your
mysteriously
court.
Committed suicide in 2008.
I have some
DC
wild
madam,
shit from
no
some outside
with us.
Forces over there. So the judge rules in favor of the prosecution.
Wow. Why?
Clear cut.
Yeah, Greg Anthony is one slutty motherfucker.
You know, I agree. I agree. Because Greg Anthony, shouldn't he just be able to walk down to his hotel's hotel bar, right? And just walk down there and say, hi, I'm Greg Anthony.
That's what I'm saying.
And you should be able to have any number of chicks right there just wreck
boom
their own panties.
A large number.
Wrecked. Next up in the pile.
The pile.
Nicholas Brannon. The Cincinnati Bengals intern was fired and arrested for taking 106 items from the Bengals locker room and giving them to a pal to sell on eBay. Then the two would split the profits. Barry Murphy, defend your client.
I'm actually prosecuting this case.
Andy Ostroff, defend your client.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. Play me some inspirational music here. Inspiration.
Again, Dave, this is an intern who was stealing things out of the Cincinnati Bengals locker room.
This man is a hero.
Could have been Ray Maluga's jockstrap. Could have been Muhammad Sanu's spandex. Andy Dalton's used condoms. Could have been anything.
All right.
Putting them up on eBay.
This is why Nicholas Brannon should not go to jail. He sold 106 items from the Cincinnati Bengals on eBay. And got over $3,000 for them. How do you do that? The Cincinnati fucking Bengals. Not even the ones for the charity, for the guy with the sick kid whose name I can't remember now, and I wish I could. However, over $3,000. The NFL should be praising this man. They should hire him, 21 years old, and put him in a sales position. That's what should happen. He is a goddamn marketing magnate.
Barry Murphy, prosecute this fat ass.
Dave, I'm going to really need some really sad music for my prosecution. This man had the gall to take a job with the Bengals. I'm going to need it to be sadder than this.
That's heroin sad right
sadder
there.
Than this.
Sadder than heroin
I'm
sad.
I'm talking, yeah, this is it for me.
Oh, my God. Another one. Slow.
Yeah. So not only does he steal from the Bengals, but did you see some of the items he stole? He stole Andy Dalton's Star Wars posters.
Did he really?
Yeah. He did. He stole Adam Pac-Man Jones, had a bobblehead of Boomer Esiason's son, the cystic fibrosis kid, Gunner. He stole that. I mean, this guy is a criminal.
Did it come with, like, did the bobblehead come with, like, the cystic fibrosis tanks or whatever he's got to breathe in? Was it a complete?
No, that's an optional piece you can buy afterwards. But this is just, it's a really sad story, and this guy's a pathetic human being, Judge.
Yeah, but he got over $3,000 for that shit.
Tishon, how do you rule?
I was so enchanted by the music.
I forgot what case I'm working on. Hang jury.
All right, there it is. Order, of course.
I like that. Hang jury.
That's not even
no
a term.
Jury. There's no jury.
All right, moving on here in the pile. Next up, Jeremy Stevens, the former Seahawks tight end, was arrested for Dewey. His wife, Hope Solo, was also in the car, and she was almost arrested for being belligerent. Barry Murphy, defend your client.
Well, these two white racist police officers who pulled over my client, and they were obviously targeting him and his wife. There's no question about it. No, we don't even know what nationality Hope Solo is, so they were targeting her, too. She had a little Native American in her and all that. But when you really think about it, she tried to say, like, do you know who we are? And others, you're making a mistake. My hands are up. I'm a patriot. I'm a war hero and an Olympian. and this man still attacked my clients.
Andy Ostroff, prosecute this NFL bust.
All right, Jeremy Stevens was driving a car that has daytime running lights and didn't have the lights on. Okay? He was doing that, smelled of booze. Then when the cops came over, they were like, oh, hey, we know you guys because we arrest you motherfuckers every 3 weeks. Okay? They're always in trouble. He beat the shit out of her, and then they got married the next day. Come on, man.
Erroneous.
I think I'm going to add to the defense here. I think that he should be arrested just for the fact that his career was such a bust that TMZ refers to him as Hope Solo's husband.
I'm going to rule in favor of the defense.
Oh,
great defense. I understand.
Inside job.
No. I understand a man and a woman are both who've been under the.
You remind me of Judge Ito toward the end of the OJ case. He just didn't give a fuck anymore, man. I'll rule in the defense. Yeah, whatever.
The glove quit.
I don't think the glove quit.
That's not a compliment.
Wasn't there a season at Night Court where Harry started drinking again? That's sort of what this is like.
Moving on here in the pile.
I love Bull.
Dave Pee Wee Herman, the MMA fighter arrested after police chased him. So he was another guy driving without his headlights on. He gets involved in a 2.5 to 3 mile police chase. Then Herman wouldn't comply with police orders, so they tased him.
The thing you don't want to do here is set a precedent. My client was pulled over. The police said, we're coming up to your car, and he decided, I'm going to drive off. And you're going to get tased for running away from the cops? I mean, you're setting a bad precedent here. Everyone's done it. Tell me you haven't got pulled over and they get out and then you leave.
I've never done that.
Everyone's done it.
I'm the prosecution. I don't think I even need to do anything right now. So,
Deshaun Phillips, how do you rule?
It does look bad for Dave Pee Wee Herman. I rule in favor of the prosecution.
Yes!
He didn't say anything.
Brevity, my friend.
You just said you were looking for brevity, and he said nothing.
The final dipshit here in the pile, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on. The final dipshit in the pile is former boxing champ Jermaine Taylor.
The pile.
Sadly arrested during an MLK Day parade in Little Rock, Arkansas, after he became enraged while posing for a picture with a family, a picture that he requested nonetheless. And then he dropped his belt, and he blamed it on the child. So he produced a gun, put it up against the father's temple, threatened to kill him, and only when the wife came over to swat away the gun did it save that man's life, because the gun went off and fired twice into the air.
Guilty.
Let me defend this guy first.
All right. So just to be clear, Ostroff didn't
you
want
mess
to defend
with Martin Luther
the MMA
King
fighter.
T-Shawn. He's very
what's
short
going on
leash
with this guy. Jermaine, first of all, he was in a lot of pain. He broke a rib 2 days ago, but he was out. He did. It's true. He was just out, wanted to celebrate Martin Luther King Day at a parade. Okay, Martin Luther King is a great American. Okay, parades are very American, and what is more American than firing off a couple rounds into the air at a parade? Hero.
Guilty.
That was really fun. But the bottom line is he brought a loaded gun to a Marty King parade, and you just don't do that.
That's what everyone
Mr.
does.
Mr. Taylor brought his heavyweight titles to represent the I Have a Dream speech. Really? I mean, this guy, and everyone knows one of the first rules of parades is you don't knock the belt out of the heavyweight champ's hands when he brings him to the parade.
Even if you're five.
This man is guilty.
Guilty.
Fact or fudge?
Fact or fudge? Gentlemen, Super Bowl 49 is just 11 days away. And for the majority of Americans who won't be working the game or in prison while it goes on, it means big-time parties with big-time food. And that leads us to today's Fact or Fudge question. Is this the name of a Super Bowl recipe, or any recipe for that matter, according to food.com, with the word the in thrown in front of it? That's important.
Right. Reputable site.
Or is it an Urban Dictionary sex move? Going back to Old Faithful. All right.
Well,
so is this a Super Bowl recipe with the word the thrown in front of it, or is it an Urban Dictionary sex move?
You
an
must
example
know so
here
much now,
is a, or gentlemen or both.
Ooh,
it could be both. It could be both, and that really changes things.
Are we playing Tishon rules or regular rules?
No, this is regular rules. You get one pull out. Does that make sense? Each guy gets one pull out. The example I'm going to give you right now is the sausage sawmill gravy. That would be a fact because that is
both
is a food.
Oh, okay.
So you could say, like, fact, that is a food. I'm going to go fudge. That's an Urban Dictionary sex move. Or you can say, I believe that's both.
Both.
So all right.
The food.
Wait
is
a minute.
The
so are we not going to talk about the Australian Open in tennis?
Really, no. So what? A chick fucking vomited. Who cares? It's the preliminaries. This is football season. We'll talk about tennis in July.
During tennis season.
God damn it. This is why I said don't bring a one percenter onto the show. You got to keep three blue collar hacks over here. The one percenter wants to talk about tennis and what's next? Lacrosse? Ooh. You want to talk about the Syracuse lacrosse team this year?
That's a native game, man. That's OG.
All right.
Talk about croquet.
Here we go. The Native Americans actually were one percenters. Look it up. Factor fudge, T-shirt. Take it away.
Fudge. All right. Who's up first?
The champion, Andy Ostroff.
Ah.
Champion.
Andy has had an impressive record. So, factor fudge, Andy.
Both.
Is correct. Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word "the" in front of it? Or an Urban Dictionary sex move? Or both? The dirty shrimp.
Oh, God. It sounds gross.
Yeah.
The three choices are tough. The dirty shrimp.
You know it.
Dirty shrimp, I'm going to say is food, but the question is it both?
Is it food? Is it a sex move? Or is it both?
Or is it both? Yep.
Yeah, but now the question is it both? Because I already think it's food.
Oh, you think it's food. Sorry. Yeah.
Let me talk this out, Murph. Come on.
All right. Sorry.
You could also pull out.
No, I'm going to go.
Keep it in.
I'm going to say it's food.
That is incorrect. It is both.
God damn it.
You can take the dirty shrimp and you can throw it in some butter beer sauce. It looks delicious. Only takes 25 minutes to take care of. Also on Urban Dictionary, the dirty shrimp is when you stick your finger in someone's butt and it looks like a shrimp before you clean it. Tammy stuck her finger up Hannon's ass and gave him a dirty shrimp.
Hannon? It's not even a guy or a girl's name.
Man, I don't know.
Beach?
Doesn't matter. So, should we give that a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
All right.
Shitty sounding move anyways.
Only 10 people have...
Why should your finger look like a dirty shrimp if it's fucking covered in shit?
Well, that's dirty shrimp, man. That's...
I don't get it.
All right. Andy Ostroff, 0. Barry Murphy, 0.
Murph, this puts you in good spot.
Boy, for such like a repetitive champion, you're a terrible loser.
Poor start. Oh, poor start. Whiny.
I hate it, man. Dirty shrimp, shitty sex movie.
All right, Murph. Fact or fudge? Fact or fudge? Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word "the" in front of it? Or an Urban Dictionary sex move? Or both?
40% as fast as his normal
voice. The boozy beef.
the boozy beef steak.
Is it beef stick? The steak?
Steak. The boozy beef steak.
Boozy beef steak?
He lost his shit.
Boozy beef
Dave
steak.
Dave dropped the guitar.
How about this? No, no, no. How about this? Dave, play us. If someone said, hey,
the boozy
Dave,
beef steak.
Hey, Dave, I got my family here. Give us some of that boozy beef steak.
It's a song by Brian Adams called Boozy Beef Steak.
The boozy beef steak.
The time limit is Murphy has to start answering before I start singing.
Both.
Well, you said both.
That is incorrect. The boozy beefsteak is just a food. The
it's
boozy beefsteak is just a food. Total time, a long time, 2 hours and 15 minutes to make this.
Are you making the slow cooker?
4 tablespoons of whiskey or 4 tablespoons of brandy can be used.
What do you make it in, the oven or the slow cooker? The grill?
It looks like you just place the meat in a shallow metallic dish mixed together with remaining ingredients. Pour mixture over steaks, cover, and marinate for at least 2 hours. And
you then should you put just your barbecue. Recipes
so
up
the marination
on
takes
oh, it's
on
a marination.
I really
all right, 0-0, 0-0.
If you would have said marinated, I would have got it.
None of this food sounds good so far.
All right, Andy. Fact or fudge?
Both.
Correct. No. Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word "the" in front of it? Or an Urban Dictionary sex move? Or both? The man salad. The man's salad.
The man's salad?
Like
M-A-N
the man's
apostrophe?
Chinese?
M-A-N apostrophe S.
Pam?
Man's
salad.
No,
like
man's.
Two
M's?
M's.
Man's.
M
the man's salad.
Is there a D on the end?
The man's salad.
Like the man possesses the salad?
Hello. The man's salad, yep.
Man's salad. Man's.
It's
food
be
because, yeah, I'm going to serve you man's salad today. I'm saying it's sex move.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. It is actually just a food.
God damn it. Who wants to eat man's salad?
A man's salad is basically a potato salad with chipotle peppers.
Unexpected.
That's
the man's
bullshit.
Salad. Yeah.
That's not even real. That's like fucking putting Tabasco sauce on chips and being like, I cooked.
Amazing. Amazing how if they don't just be, you know, run through and get it right, they just complain. They whine.
I know. There's a lot.
Unreal.
This game is going to take forever. Based
it
on
like
zero,
shitty
zero,
food.
Shitty zero,
food.
Zero.
Shitty food.
Barry Murphy, you're on the clock.
0-0. Murph, you can take a big lead here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, fact or fudge, my friend. Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word the in front of it? An Urban Dictionary sex move or both? The pepperoni pizza special. The Pep special.
The Pep special.
I'm gonna buck the trend and go both.
That is incorrect. It is just a sex move. Just a sex move.
Also unexpected.
You're so bad today.
It's obviously a food.
Wow.
Everybody has the pepperoni pizza special.
But it's not a Super Bowl.
But not
a,
not,
not
under, it was not under the Super Bowl recipes on food.com.
Asterix next to that.
To perform the what's also known as the Bellissimo special. To perform the pepperoni pizza special, you first need a large pizza, one tub of garlic spread, and 5 packets of mustard. Now, five is important here.
It sounds like
your
food
partner,
all the way till now.
Your partner and you must be in a backhoe with an enclosed cab. Then place the pizza on your girlfriend and dump the garlic spread on her ass. Also remember, she must be lame. Take 4 packets of mustard and squirt them in her crotch area.
Okay,
and
don't even finish. This gets a thumbs down.
Hold on. You got to wait for the finishing move. Could be like the NFC Championship game. The ending is what matters.
Right, it won't be good.
So you take 4 packets of mustard, squirt them in her crotch area, and then squirt one in her eye. Stick your dick in her rear and eat the pizza off her back. Then when your dick is covered in garlic spread, stick your dick in her pussy and wait till it is covered in mustard. Then stick your
Doesn't
garlic
that
mustard.
Like shit. Like, come on.
Then stick your garlic mustard flavored dick in her mouth and blow your load. She will enjoy the special.
Boo.
I think that's very presumptuous.
Boo.
That is probably not going to happen.
That's from Tony Palmer in 2006.
Imagine
that now has 20 dislikes. We're going to give that a dislike.
The
number
old TP hasn't had a lot of success.
Imagine
since
getting
then.
A backo just to do that move.
Tony Palmer might be dead by now.
Yeah,
that's
in jail or something
ago.
For sure.
All right, 0-0.
Tony Palmer kidnapped Robert
Allen. We're going to go with the tie game special theme from Dave Chipetta.
Tie game special theme.
Oh, you didn't have that one loaded up?
What says tie game like nothing else in music?
Nickelback?
It's more Goo Goo Dolls.
It's a tie game.
All right.
Zero, zero.
T-Sean, while he's playing, go ahead. Let's hear the question. Let's hear the question. While Dave plays.
T-Sean, keep it going.
I'll read it if you want me to.
Factor fudge, Andy. This is a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word the in front of it. An Urban Dictionary sex move or both. The avocado taco.
Avocado taco. damn it. I'm going to say both.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes!
It is both.
Yes!
The avocado tacos, I mean, pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, my God.
The avocado taco.
You mean self-explanatory, like the pepperoni pizza?
I just want to say God is the reason I got all the first ones wrong.
Yeah.
Damn it.
He's responsible.
The avocado taco is while you're having anal sex with a girl, and then you proceed to place your testicles inside of her vagina. Your testicles resembling avocados, and her vagina is the taco.
Downvote.
Used in a sentence, this is Cotton McKnight talking. While I was inside her butthole, I shoved my nuts inside her pussy last night. Pepper Brooks. Sounds like one hell of an avocado taco.
Pepper Brooks?
That's by White Goodman.
Downvote.
All right.
All right.
Five dislikes now.
Factor fudge. It's one zip. Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word the in front of it? An Urban Dictionary sex move or both? The mashed Gabe taters.
Can I get a spelling on Gabe?
No.
R? No. I mean, are you going to the movies later?
No, G-A-B.
Oh, G-A-B.
Yeah, E. Gabe, maybe.
Because if it was gay, I would probably have said. The mashed Gabe potatoes?
The mashed.
Taters. The mashed Gabe taters.
Gabe taters.
I'll just say food.
That is incorrect. It is just a sex move.
Why?
It's when a gay man pulls his cheeks apart and his companion quickly fills his anus full of mashed potatoes.
Oh, boy.
Then they perform anal sex, and when finished, they eat the mashed potatoes.
They both do?
Who the fuck is Gabe?
Great question, Sean.
Who is Gabe? Gabe is a chef.
That's what you got out of this? They both do?
So
both?
So the sentence really brings it home here. Hey, son, Bob invited me over tonight to have some mashed Gabe taters, so I can't come to your baseball game.
Upvote. Wait, can you do an up and down? Both?
Oh, man, the sentence really brings it home. It's explaining to your son that you can't go to his little league.
Oh, boy. Gabe,
how did you find that? Because
you have to eat some mashed.
You can't get instant like that.
How'd you find that one to use? That's what I want to know. What's the search process? Because Urban Dictionary is so expansive.
So what I did is I typed in mash. Like I was thinking like mashed potatoes. So I typed in mash and mashed Gabe taters came up.
Like as in someone's name, Gabe.
Right? Yeah, Gabe, G-A-B-E. Hey, son, I can't go to your little league game because I have
to. He's not a chef. He's just a fucking deviant.
All right,
brother,
so we got one
name,
zip.
Gabe.
One
never
zip.
Look at him.
Yeah,
one nothing. Andy Ostra.
This is a defensive struggle.
Yeah, it's a defensive
in terms
battle.
Of
it's all God. God doesn't want us to get these.
Factor fudge, Andy.
Yeah.
Is this a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word the in front of it? An Urban Dictionary sex move? Or both. Split pea soup.
Both.
It's the split pea soup.
Both.
The split beet soup.
Split pea soup or yeah. beef
is it,
soup?
Is it peat or pea?
I'm going to say both.
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Commanded lead.
Everybody knows what the split pea soup is. And then
just like the pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. Pepperoni pizza special.
Of course,
only
it's
a
food,
move.
Guys.
Only a sex move.
When
you
a man,
get,
when a man pees into
Italian
a
restaurant,
it's when a man pees into a bucket, then boils the pee and later pours it into a girl's vagina or mouth.
Why is he boiling?
See, it's almost like
and
a
wouldn't
re-
it be
it's
a fucking
like
fry? Wouldn't
move.
It be a pot? Like, why is he a bucket?
She
Who
didn't
boils in a bucket. It's a
she
pot.
Didn't want to have sex with me, so I will punish her with some of my split pea soup. That's from the boss 37.
Oh,
all right,
downvoted. Yeah.
Grotesque.
More importantly here, we've got Andy Ostroff up 2-0. Murph, this is essential. If you don't get this one right, the game is over.
Gotcha.
All right, here we go.
Come on, Murph.
Both.
Factor fudge.
The come
is
on?
This a popular Super Bowl recipe with the word the in front of it? An Urban Dictionary sex move or both? The amazing white trash puffballs.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Amazing white trash puff balls. That's both.
That is incorrect.
It is shocking.
It is just food. I think that's the most shocking part.
I think the MASH game taters is the most shocking one.
You need a 1 8-ounce package of Hormel sliced pepperoni, 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, and 2 packages of Pillsbury refrigerated Crescent dinner rolls. And that's how you make the amazing white trash puffballs. But unfortunately, that is not a sex move on Urban Dictionary. Ladies and gentlemen, your champion once again for the 10th week in a row, basically.
Thank you.
Andy Ostrov. He knows his Urban Dictionary sex moves.
Oh, that one was exhausting.
Guys and girls, make sure you come back next week and listen to our Super Bowl 49 preview. Rakish will be here next week talking about Super Bowl prop bets, believe it or not. He's actually in Phoenix this week working, and he's getting some down low while he's there as well. So don't miss it next week. It's the Super Bowl 49 preview podcast with Rakish the intern going through his Super Bowl prop bets. For Barry Murphy, Andy Ostrov, a drunk T-Sean, and one of the greatest musicians I've ever known, David Cepeda. I'm Tommy Gimler for the Daily Upper Decker.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.